Number one, Matthew chapter number one. Matthew chapter number one, and I'll give you just a few thoughts this morning. I've been preaching the last couple of Sundays on the word manifested as we find it over in 1 John, and it says the life was manifested and Christ was manifested. He came, he was made apparent that we might have fellowship one with another, and he came to, he was manifested, the life was manifested to take away our sins. And so we preached a couple of Sundays on that. And I want to go over in Matthew chapter number 1 this morning. And I'm going to read starting in verse number 18 down through verse number 25. And so we'll read a few verses over there. This is the, I guess you could say, the Christmas story in Matthew. There's a Christmas story in Luke, but we're going to read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18. And so we're still talking about why Jesus came. Why was he manifested into this world? Why was he born into this world? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And that word wise there, it means it happened in this way. This is how it happened. It said, "When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for letting us be here today and for all the many blessings you've given to us. And Lord, it's already been a good Christmas. I know Christmas is not till tomorrow, but Lord, it just seems like we've had a lot to be extra thankful for this year. Well, we have had a lot to be thankful for. We have tried to think about why you came and what the purpose behind it is and what it means to us. And Lord, I think that's helped us a little bit. And dear Lord, as we come today, we're just thankful that we do have something that we can go tell on the mountain. We're thankful that we have the greatest message in the whole wide world. That's that salvation has come, and it's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we come today asking your help as we come to worship, as we come to think about what the Word of God says and why you came into this world. And, Lord, so we pray that you would just speak to our hearts, our spirits, that we'd be edified, that we would truly be able to worship you here today. And we've already felt that good Holy Spirit that's helped us get in the right frame and heart of mind. And Lord, I just pray you'd speak to our hearts, you'd have your way, that you'd save some soul, that you would speak to us from your word, that you'd give great liberty, and that, Lord, we'd all have the best Christmas yet. And Lord, we look forward to your coming and being with you one day. What a blessing it is to just think about that. So Lord, have your way, and we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, let's go back and start over in verse number 18 this morning, just sort of to get us started today. But you pray that the Lord would speak to our hearts. And the Bible said in verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And so this is talking about the birth of, look what it says in verse number 18, the birth of Jesus Christ. And the word Jesus, it's the Old Testament word Joshua, and it means this, it means Savior. And the word Christ is the word Messiah, the promised one, the coming one. And so what it's saying in verse number 18, the birth of Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. That's what it's talking about, our Savior, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about all the many thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of births in this world. There's been a great many that have been what the world would say very, very important births. You think about kings and queens. You think about people who were born into this world that have invented things, that have discovered things, that have been great leaders politically, socially, whatever the case might be. But there has never been anybody that has been born in this world that their birth is more important or had more impact than the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. His birth was foretold hundreds of years before he ever was born. When it's talking about in verse number 22 and verse number 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. It's talking about by Isaiah the prophet. 700 some years before Christ was ever born into this world. What did Isaiah say? Verse number 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. That's Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 8. What does Emmanuel mean? Which being interpreted is God with us. Before he was ever born into this world, God had told us there's going to be a Messiah, a promised one, a Savior. His name is going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. He was foretold. He was announced that he was coming before he was born. Verse number 20, but he was announced by angels. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The angels attended his birth. In Luke chapter number 2, never been a birth like the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you talk to different people and they have different opinions about why Jesus came. Some say Jesus came to be a political leader, to lead Israel and become the king. Well, he did. But he didn't come just to be a political leader. Some say Jesus was a great social example or a great moral example. He was a prophet. He was a great teacher, and he was all of these things. But that is not the primary reason why he came into this world. He came to do what his name means. His name, Jesus, means Savior. Jesus came to save. Verse number 18, the Bible said, now the birth of Jesus Christ, Messiah, Savior. Verse number 21, the Bible said, and we know this, this is a good memory passage of Scripture, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse number 25, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That means Savior. And I want to try to preach this morning on the subject of Jesus saves. You know, that's something we might hear all the time. I've heard people say that. I've seen bumper stickers and T-shirts and bookmarks and all kinds of things. That's pretty common that you would hear somebody or see something that says Jesus saves. A gospel tract would have in it probably somewhere Jesus saves. Or you might hear somebody say that or see a sign beside the road. But if you ever really stop to think about what that means, Jesus saves. That is why he came. That is what the angel of the Lord told Joseph in this dream. Mary is going to have a baby. The child was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And verse number 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save. Jesus saves. And I want to share with you this morning five things about that little thought, Jesus saves. Number one, just what I've been saying, number one, Jesus came to save. That's what it says in verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. The angel of the Lord told Joseph this. Now, Joseph, he didn't know what was going on. He is engaged or betrothed to Mary. That's hard to say real close together, but this is his fiance. All of a sudden, we find out she's going to have a baby. Joseph knows this is not his baby. What is Joseph supposed to do in this situation? Well, Joseph is a just man in verse number 19. He is a good man. He didn't want to make a public example out of her. He didn't want to shame her. But what is he supposed to do? He had in his mind to put her away privily or privately, what we might say, to break up with her, to divorce her because of this, before that they were even officially married and come together. That's what Joseph had in his mind to do. What is he supposed to do? That's what he was going to do. But the angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, and you talk about letting him in on what really is going on. He told Joseph not to put her away, to marry her. This is something that's never happened in the history of the world. This baby that Mary is going to have is a special baby. He is the Messiah. He is going to come. Joseph was told to name him Jesus, our Savior, for he shall save his people. And as you study about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know he never veered from what he came to do? Now, how many of us, you remember when you was a little child and somebody asked you, what are you going to be when you grow up? You know, about everybody would say, or boys at least, once upon a time, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, I want to be a ball player, I want to do this, I want to do that. Do you know the Lord Jesus never veered, never varied, never changed his mind, his direction? He always, what did he come for? He came to save. He came to save. And his whole life revolved around that mission to come to save mankind. Later on, Matthew chapter number 18, Jesus and the disciples and the little children gathered around, and he's talking to the disciples there. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse number 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. He never changed his mind about that. He came to save. He came to save. Do you know the word save? It's a great word. Somebody asked me the other day, and you always think of good things after you leave somebody. And they asked me, I was talking to them about the Lord and talking to them about church, and I had a great opportunity there. And they told me, they said, I don't really know that much about it. And he said, what's the difference in the Baptists? And I wish I'd have thought to say, if you go to a Baptist church, you're going to hear a lot about being saved. You're going to hear a lot about being saved. In fact, if you go back to why Jesus came into this world, he came to save. I mean, that is our message this morning. Jesus came to save. And so if you go to a Baptist church, or let me put it like this, if you go to a church that preaches and believes the Bible, you're going to hear a lot about being saved. Because that's why Jesus came. And that is our message to the world. And the word save is a great message. It is a great word. The word save means this. It comes from the word to be safe. To be safe. Which means this, to deliver from or to protect from. Webster's dictionary says the word save, it means to preserve from injury or to save from destruction or evil. It means to rescue from danger, as in to save a house from a fire or to save a man from drowning or to save a family from ruin. The word save is a great word. Jesus came to save us. Do you know Jesus came to be our hero? Do you know when this world thinks about heroes, it thinks about people that save people. Such as a fireman went into a building and they were going to die, and he pulls out some child or somebody, and that fireman, that would be somebody the world would say they're a hero. They saved somebody. Or a policeman comes upon somebody that is in danger of their life, and he interferes in that and intercedes in that and saves somebody from getting murdered or robbed or something like that. And we say they're a hero. They risk their life to save somebody else. Or a soldier fights the enemy and goes out, and if it had not been for the soldier to go out and confront the enemy, and the soldier by his sacrifice saved us from our enemy, they're a hero. Do you know Jesus has done all those things for us? He saved us from the fire. He saved us from danger. He saved us from our mortal enemy, Satan. He's done all of these things. Yet the sad thing is, this morning, John chapter 1 and verse number 11, the Bible says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They did not recognize Him as their Savior, as their hero. But I'm telling you this morning, He came to save us, to protect, to preserve, to save us. And so we praise His name this morning. He didn't just only come to save us. Number two this morning, He came to save sinners. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world, they don't see themselves as sinners. But Jesus came to save sinners. He came to save us from our sins. That is what the Bible says in verse number 21. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, which means salvation or Savior, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's a big thing. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said this, of whom I am chief. Paul, by his own confession, said, of all the sinners in the world, he said, I'm the worst. I'm the chief of sinners. Now, we might look at Paul and say, why, Paul, he was a great guy. God used Paul greatly, and He did. Why would Paul say, I'm the chiefest of sinners? As far as I know, Paul never cheated on his wife. He wasn't a man that would go around. You know, he was moral in his actions for the most part. But, you know, if you study about what he was doing, he was persecuting the church. He was persecuting the body of Christ. He was arresting Christians. He stood by while they stoned Stephen to death with stones. And Saul at that time, He stood by and held their coats. He was the head guy in all of that. How would you like to go to bed every night thinking that you had been responsible for ruining and wrecking countless numbers of Christians' lives? And Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners, but you know what? He saved me. I'm the worst of all the sinners. That's what he was saying. I mean, a fireman, we were talking about that the fireman might save somebody from a fire. Or a policeman might save somebody from harm or something like that. But Jesus came to save us from the condition that's going to kill all of us. And that's our sinful condition. You know, in the big picture, very, very few percentage-wise would die from being in a fire. But all of us are going to die from the wages of sin. We're all in that boat. I've never been robbed or mugged or anything like that. A thief has never come into my house. I've never been in danger that way. But we're all under Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ came into this world to save us from the one thing that affects all of us, and that is our sinful condition. And if Paul was the chief of sinners and God saved him, then you know what? There's hope for the rest of us. I've had people tell me, oh, preacher, if I'm too bad. I've had people tell me that. Had one fellow one time, he told me, he said, I can't get saved. He said, I do this and I do that. Well, he's focused on his sin. You need to be aware of that. You need to know that you're a sinner. But I've got good news. That's the kind of person Jesus came to save. He came to save sinners. Jesus said, the righteous, they don't need a physician, but they that are sick. Tell you what, if you ever see yourself lost, you're on the right path. Jesus saves sinners. If you never see yourself as being a sinner, being in a condition of being lost and undone, and if you died, you'd die and go to hell. If you never see yourself like that, there's no hope for you. But if you ever see yourself as a sinner, lost, undone, before a holy God, I'm glad to tell you there's a Savior. His name is Jesus. He came to save sinners. He came, number three this morning, He came to save by His own blood. Look what it says in verse 20. Talking about Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Mary was with child, but there is nothing sinful about her condition. The only way for you and I to ever be saved is that God had to come down in the form of human flesh. And he could not have an earthly father. This arrangement was specifically so that Jesus Christ could be God's perfect sacrifice. So that when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, it would be a perfect sacrifice with perfect blood that's not tainted by sin. Colossians 1:14, the Bible said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins through His blood. Now, look at verse 19. The Bible said, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Let me tell you something. Joseph was a good man. The Bible said that Joseph was a just man. The Bible says that Mary was highly favored in Luke chapter number 2. She was highly favored before God. But Joseph could not save us, and Mary could not save us. Mary can't save. Although there's a great many people in the world that would pray to Mary and go to Mary and look to Mary as a mediator, but Mary can't save you. Joseph can't save you. Many other people in the Bible we could look at that were good people, but they weren't good enough to be the Savior. In fact, they're in the same boat as we are. Joseph needed to be saved, and Mary needed a Savior, and all of us need a Savior. It took a perfect, sinless, spotless sacrifice. It took His blood for our sins. He came to save by His own blood. Then I think about this morning, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. If you want to look in your Bibles over there, He came to save from all iniquity. I like this, what the Bible says, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 14. Look what the Bible says. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and His coming. Verse number 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Do you know that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse number 14, or the last part of verse 13 said, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is God. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out here, they don't believe that, but they're missing it. Jesus Christ had to be God. The Bible says He is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He came, the Bible said, He gave Himself that He might redeem us from all iniquity. Do you know the good news this morning? The good news is this. The word "all," it means all. There's people out here, they say, "Well, my sin." Well, what about your sin? My situation, my addiction, my recurring problems that I have. You know, I'm glad for this person over here, but I'll tell you what you have the same thing everybody else has. And He's got the remedy. He's got the cure. All iniquity means all iniquity. That means He can save the drunkard. That means He can save those who are righteous in their own self. He can save those that are full of pride and on. He can save the drug addict. He can save the person on the street. He can save the person in the school. It makes no difference to Him. He can save from all iniquity. The good news is this morning that whosoever means this, whosoever. It is a universal gospel. The Lord Jesus has made a way of a universal application. It applies to all iniquity. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 59, "Your iniquities have separated between you and God." Iniquity has separated us. That means this: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means there's no way you and I can get to God in and of our own power. We are completely, totally separated from God. There's no way you're going to get there. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're not good enough. Your iniquities have separated between you and God. But the good news is this morning that Jesus Christ came to bridge that gulf, to make a way. There are not many ways. There's only one way. Jesus died upon the cross and shed His blood to make a way that we could get to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." You're not going to get to God by going through Allah. You're not going to get to God by trying to go through Mary. You're not going to get to God by trying to go through good works or going through the baptismal waters. You're not going to get to God by joining the church. There's only one way to get to Him. That's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, everybody thinks it's about church. Go to church, go to church, go to church is good. But if you go to church and you don't get through the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never go to heaven. You'll just be somebody that goes to church or has joined a church. But God came and died upon the cross so that you and I could be saved. He came to save from all iniquity. And number five and last of all this morning, He came to save because no one else can. Nobody else can. You know, I guess if Gabriel could have got the job done, been all right to send Gabriel, the chief angel, or Michael, the archangel. But they couldn't do it. An angel could not come and save us. In fact, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 or 2 Peter, that the angels don't even understand this, and they desire to look into these things. God couldn't send an angel or an army of angels to save us. Peter was preaching Acts chapter number 4. And Peter preached in this message. He said, Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. He said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name, and it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He came to save because He's the only one that could. Adam couldn't save us. Noah couldn't save us. Moses couldn't save. David couldn't save. Isaiah couldn't save. All these are great men, but they couldn't save us. There's only one could save us, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard Paul Harvey, of course, he's dead and gone on to be with the Lord now, but I really like to hear his, you know, the rest of the story things. And he had a thing several years ago about a man, and this man, he didn't believe in all the Christmas stuff and the incarnation, and his wife had asked him to come to church on Christmas, and he said, no. He said, I'm not going to go. He said, I just feel like a hypocrite. He said, y'all go on to church. He said, I'll stay at home, wait on you. So his family goes on to church. And he's sitting at home, sitting by the fire, reading the newspaper, and he hears a thud at the window. He hears another thud at the window. And another at the window. He thinks somebody's throwing snowballs at the window. And he gets up and he goes and he looks out the window, and what he finds is the weather was bad outside and the storm was coming, and he found out that a flock of birds had got disoriented in the storm and flown into his picture window. Well, he's a pretty good guy. He's a good man and everything. And he feels sorry for the birds. And he said, you know, I need to help these birds somehow. If I could get them somewhere out of the storm, they'd be all right. So he thinks about the barn. And so he goes out to the barn and he turns the light on and he opens the door and he thinks to himself, well, they will go towards that light. They'll get in out of the storm. They'll go in the barn. But the birds don't go in the barn. And he thinks to himself, well, I will get some breadcrumbs. And he goes in the house and he gets the breadcrumbs and he lays out a trail and he says, you know, the birds will eat the food and they'll go in the barn where it's warm and they'll be all right tonight. Birds don't pay any attention to the breadcrumbs. And so he thinks, I want to help the birds. And he said, I'll get behind and I'll try to shoo them and get them to go in the barn. And they're just scared of him. And they're running all over the place. And no matter what he tries, it does not work. And he thinks to himself, I want to help them, but I'm just scaring them. Everything that I do, what could I do to save the birds? And finally, he thought to himself, he thought, in order to help them, if I could become one of them, if I could be like them, and if I could go to them and speak their language, I could show them I'm just trying to save them. And Paul Harvey said about that time the church bells rang. And he remembered what Christmas was all about, or what he had heard all about it, that a baby was born and his name would be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, the only way that God could save us little birds, He would have to become like us. He would have to become one of us. And He would have to come where we were and speak our language and tell us, fear not. He's come to save us, not to hurt us, not to condemn us. We're already condemned, but He came to save us. That's the message of Christmas. That is why Jesus came. That is why God was manifest in the flesh. That's why it's a big deal. He came to save us. The Advent, the Incarnation, all those great big words we use and think about. It just means this: God came to us. He became one of us that we might become, that we might be like Him. And so the Bible said in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isn't that a great message, that God came to be with us? Well, people say, well, what was his name? Was it Jesus? Was it Emmanuel? Yeah. You've got more than one name. His name was Jesus Emmanuel, son of Joseph, son of Mary, son of man, son of God. He's got a lot of names. I like this. Have you ever noticed in the last part of verse number 25? In verse number 18, it's Jesus Christ. But in verse 21, in verse number 25, and he called his name Jesus. And it's all in capital letters. I like that. We sing that song sometimes. There's something about that name. It's the greatest name it ever was. The name of the Lord Jesus. He came to save because no one else can. I'd like for us this morning to have her heads bowed and her eyes closed for just a moment. And I'm going to ask Brother Nathan if he'd pick us out.